My name is Lori Davies Adams. I'm the executive director of the Pollinator Partnership in San Francisco, and we work all across North America to save pollinators, bees, bats, butterflies, beetles, all the insects and bird life that interact with plants to facilitate pollination.
We hear a lot about the bee issue and the colony collapse disorder and all that in agriculture. And as you can probably tell from some of the conversations you've had with farm folks, they sometimes feel targeted in that whole issue. But all the science we've seen so far, I guess, is there's a multitude of issues that are all combining to harm the bees. But you're not just a bee protection outfit. You're after all the pollinators, sounds like.
We're actually, if you want to consider us a trade association for all pollinators, so we include all of the pollinating animals and all of the pollinating crops, but also all the environmental situations where pollinators are actively engaged in producing landscapes that aren't agricultural. They're just our environment, our wildscapes.
Here at the American Seed Trade Association meeting this week, good exchange it sounded like. Give us some feedback on what you're hearing from these kind of folks from the seed end of things.
Well, we know farmers are great stewards of the landscape. They have a very big job to do to feed the world, but to also take care of our planet at the same time. So we believe in farmers, and we believe that they want to do the right thing, not just for their pocketbook and their bottom line, but also for the environment. And many farmers are asking us, how really can we protect bees, the bees that we bring in for pollination services for specialty crops, but also the native bees that are in the forage that's available in wildscapes adjoining and bordering the cropland. So we're hearing a lot from people about the need for good, solid science, and this is music to our ears because science is what we're based on. We do not want to go ahead of the science. We don't want to ignore the science or be selective about the science. We want to look very carefully at the interactions that are happening on the landscape, and you need science to direct that. Unfortunately, a lot of the discussion is being dictated by somewhat outlying groups that would like to have a specific agenda that they are promoting. And we understand that. They have their own perspective. But our perspective is that most of the ills that are befalling the bee, at least the bee world, are multifaceted. There are a lot of causes. There are a lot of ways that we have to work together cooperatively to all do our part, and that means farmers and beekeepers and scientists and pesticide manufacturers and seed producers and educators from extension to the media. Everyone has to be telling a very complicated story in a way that people can understand it.
That's the challenge I think agriculture's had on a number of issues. Of course, comes to pollination, it's a bottom line issue to a farmer. He's got to be pollinated to get his crop in. I heard some exchange, and you might share this with our audience, as to what y'all do and where y'all get your funding. I guess you're involved in your own research, also studying other research of other entities to try to put it all together, but you might give us an overview from that angle.
Our funding sources are very multifaceted. We do not take any money if someone wants to influence our policies or our programs. But we take money from everyone, from the government, from industry. We partner with industry. We partner with academia. We partner with foundations. And we are interested in making landscapes more sustainable for pollinators, for productivity for farmers, and for environmental systems that support all of life. So we're looking in our own research. We're doing research right now in 9 different states, and we're looking at everything from how CRP land is being used and whether it's planted for pollinators or not and how that impacts adjacent crops, how it influences the pollinator population. We're also looking at timberland to see how timberland can interface with honeybees in particular to have clean forage that supports not so much the timber but the adjacent landscape that really keeps the whole system healthy. We're also supplying research dollars. This year we have had 55 applications for what normally we would have about 20 applications to do bee health research. And it's very interesting. About 15 of the applicants are looking at pesticides. Many of them are looking at native bees in addition to honeybees. But for the first time, we have three applications to deal with drought and its impact on pollinators. And clearly, with nearly 40 states suffering from drought situations, this is one of the things that we have to look at very, very carefully. Climate change is really very impactful for pollinators, and farmers are aware of this. Farmers know how the landscape has changed for them, but for the natural world as well, it's been a big change.
How about your research so far? Have you gotten enough of it in to kind of start forming some hypotheses or some opinions about things that haven't been exposed yet? I guess you've got some things in the works that you're looking forward to some announcements upcoming. Give us an overview maybe of what you've learned so far through the research you've been doing.
Well, one of the research projects that is very specific and hopefully will be wrapping up in the next week or two is something that we initiated called the Corn Dust Research Consortium. And this is a group of organizations that have come together to try to reduce the dust that is generated as part of pneumatic planting of corn. And this group, which includes the American Seed Trade Association, the American Beekeeping Federation, the American Honey Producers Association, the National Corn Growers Association, the American Equipment Manufacturers Association, our organization, the Pollinator Partnership, the University of Maryland, EPA and PMRA, which is the Canadian EPA equivalent, and USDA. We're all working together to try to look at how we can reduce exposure to bees and other pollinators of this dust that is generated by the exhaust that comes through the manifold of these planters because of lubricants that are put in to keep the seeds from sticking to one another. And this is very exciting because we looked at two questions. One was, what are the foraging conditions during corn planting? What's out there? What's actually happening in hives that are adjacent to cornfields? And we actually put hives next to cornfields in situations at Ohio State University, Iowa State University, and the University of Guelph. And we looked at what pollen was brought back to the hive during the corn planting and after the corn planting. We wanted to know the composition of the flowers that were coming in, but also how contaminated was that pollen. So we're going to have some very exciting results to talk about with respect to that. The second question we looked at was, is there an alternative lubricant that could be put into the hopper of the corn planting machinery that would reduce this dust? So the fugitive dust would be reduced just by virtue of the fact that a better lubricant was being used. So we tested a product called BFA, which was developed by Bayer, to see how it impacted this. So the results aren't out yet, but they're forthcoming. But I think the exciting part about this is, here's an instance where there was a real problem, and no one spent time pointing fingers, working against one another. Everyone came together and said, we all have a stake in this. What can we do to make this situation better? Now, it's only 1 year of data. It's only preliminary, and we'll have to see where these recommendations are going to go. But we should have some recommendations that are at least provisional for the next year, for 2014 planting.
Sounds like collaboration is the key to research just like that. When you name off the laundry list of folks involved in it, it is a very wide range and very diverse range of interested parties at the table.
That's our hope. And frankly, this kind of activity where people who have different perspectives and a different stake in this can come together and work together, you'd be surprised at how much progress can really happen. It's actually much healthier than the kind of litigious, acrimonious activity that we've seen over and over again. When people really recognize they have a stake in this and they work together, I think you get a lot of solid progress, and that's what we're hoping for.
You might just speak to the farmers directly. What am I not asking that I should be, from your perspective, talking again to the producers? And you might also introduce them to your website so folks can find more out about y'all.
Well, we'd love to have visitors to our website. It's very easy to remember. It's called Pollinator.com. landscape.org. We have a section for farmers. We have a lot of wonderful information, even for school gardens, for home gardens. We have information on our website that will lead you to apps to help you understand how to navigate native plant nurseries and so forth. But we really want the farmers to know more than anything that we respect what they're doing and we want to partner with them. So if I were to talk to the partner that I'm talking to right now on the radio, I would say thank you for the hard work that you do and for paying attention to an unseen army of other workers who are working side by side with you, the pollinators. They do need your help and they do need your attention, particularly at times of bloom. And what I want to make sure farmers know is this is something that they can engage in a helpful and healthy way that won't jeopardize their business, won't make them feel like, oh, what have I done? I've invited bees to the property and now I won't be able to make an application of a crop protection tool. That's not what we're talking about. There are ways of coexisting and there are ways of being really smart stewards that we really want to encourage and we want to listen. So I also would tell farmers to contact us, to let us know what their concerns and thoughts are, things that have worked, things that haven't worked. This is a dialogue, and progress is incremental. It doesn't happen in a sweeping mandate. It happens with someone trying something, someone having success, and being willing to talk about it with others. So I would welcome farmers contacting us.
Excellent introduction to the Pollinator Partnership. Check them out at pollinator.org. We appreciate you, Lori. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Gary.